May the words of my mouth and the prayer of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. On this week, we celebrate the independence of the United States. 4th of July, there will be a lot of celebrations. On the 6th, the parade. Hopefully, Ava is mayor. But it is a time of celebration, of recognizing a great history of our country. And I was particularly, around the celebration of independence, I was particularly struck by the second reading. Paul telling us, for freedom, Christ has set us free. What a wonderful sentence. To meditate on what it means to celebrate the independence of our country. And to be honest, that's a new feast in our Episcopal calendar. When we became independent from Great Britain, we of course were part of the Anglican Church. And it kind of felt a little bit hypocritical to be celebrating the independence when we were part of the British religion. So for a while, we did not celebrate it until it was put into the calendar. But we come here to hear that word, and it's true. Paul tells us, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And it encapsulates what the gospel is, to be set free in Christ. And not only it is a realization of our own freedom, but for freedom, Christ has set us free. It invites us to wonder, what am I doing with my freedom as an individual, but also as a nation? It is not only say, great, I'm free. How can I extend the freedom, the liberty that we prize so much to those around us? We come each Sunday here precisely to celebrate that freedom. That is why we do. We come to pray, to worship, to receive Holy Communion, to receive the body of Christ and experience this freedom of Christ. That's what we do, hopefully, no? We come to listen to God's word, to relish in that freedom. We come in fellowship to meet each other. I know when we gather here, we don't keep too much silence at the beginning of the service. And sometimes it's bothersome. Some people want to pray. And at the same time, I realize it's the desire to see each other. There's a rejoicing of being part of this community, and we want to say, hi, hello, how are you doing? That is another little bit of this freedom of Christ. And also, the fourth element of this freedom that we're called to is in a life of service to others, especially to the poor and the oppressed. And I was wondering, as I was preparing, how do we live it up? How do we live that freedom that Christ has called us and set us free? And it was just taking the time to review this past week. And the first thing that popped into my head last Sunday, we were here worshiping together, receiving communion, listening to God's word. And then after here, what happened? We went off to celebrate Pride, the first Pride on Orcas Island. And Emmanuel had a table there. And a couple of people came to me and said, thank you so much. One of the young organizers, 20 years old, she comes to me and says, thank you, we appreciate so much that a church was present at the first Pride event of Orcas Island. And I said, well, maybe that's what the gospel is about. The freedom that Christ has given us and the freedom we share with other people. It was so sweet to see a couple of you with t-shirts saying, free dad hugs, free mom hugs. In our weekly Thursday Eucharist and on Friday for our centering prayer. Sometimes things don't go as planned. We were planning on having Eucharist, right? But something new came up and we decided let's not have communion, and we had a healing service responding to what is the reality. And that for me is a way of saying the freedom of Christ is to set us free. On our Thursday spiritual formation group, the group that we meet on Thursdays, we were wondering what it means. And last Thursday, not this past Thursday, the one before, we had two women in their 70s getting married here right under this tree. And it was a group of six of their guests only. It's a small group. And the people at the Thursday told me, can we go there? Can we witness their wedding? And I went over and said, can they be here? And the women, the two women said, really? they want to really touch. They want to be witness of our wedding. He says, yeah, they all want to come. So the whole group went after them, and they surrounded them. And Ingrid Karnikas wrote this beautiful poem afterwards. And I sent it over to them, and they were so touched. They said, really? There's a church that cares and wants to bless us? It was way out of their imagination. Could there be a church that accepts and blesses their love? Seeing Dinner Kitchen on Thursday, a busy team providing excellent food and warm welcome to all those who come through those doors, needing food for the body, food for the soul. This past week, I finally made the tally of all the collection we did for Sister Lucy. Remember, she came a month ago, and we made a collection, and we gathered $1,000 and sent it off to them, hopefully to support her in her beautiful mission of shelter of 45 homes for men, women, and children. Yesterday, we had a very full day at the farmer's market supporting Ava and her campaign for mayor. And she jumped from being the last to the first. That was surprising, but the great thing is it's not for Ava. Well, it's partially for Ava, of course, but it's supporting a good cause, one of our nonprofits here. And yesterday in the farmer's market, one of the Latino members of our community, they asked me, does Children's House have scholarships? And I said, I'll go and ask. So I went over there and spoke with the new director of Children's House. He says, yeah, of course, we have. And then I said, come over here, talk with them. And we've organized, and yeah, come on Tuesday at 3 p.m. and we'll see how we can get you a scholarship for your children. So little things like this made me say, yeah, what Paul is inviting us for freedom, Christ has set us free, is a reality. Then we went off to games, right? Some silly games. We came out second after the co-op. I have no idea how that happened because I thought we were last in all. But we came in second. Stuart came knocked at my door and said, here's your prize. We won second place in the games. I said, really? I thought we were terrible. But
we got credit for our age.
Our age. I think they were calculating age here. But it was a very fun event to kick off the campaign for the much-needed affordable housing, April's Groves project of Opal. And we generated $1,000 from Emmanuel, gave a check to support that. And by the end of the day, Hillary Canty told us 10% of the goal of $250,000 has been achieved. So that's a beautiful way to live what Paul is talking about, freedom. By the way, I want to share a little story. I had to do a game, put a Oreo cookie up here and had to supposedly put it down and get into my mouth without using my hands. So I was ready for the game. And I get a little tap on my shoulder. And I look back, and it's Diego. Diego is one of our Latino kids. He's, how old is Diego? Like 7 or 8? He's a little one. And he says, Berto, can I do it? And I said, oh, you mean you want to take my place here? I said, yeah. I thought it was about the Oreos, but. So he got in. I put him our Saints Alive apron, and he won. He had a great technique, but the great thing was afterwards, he turned around to us and says, I did it for you. I did it for you. It was so touching. And I said, yeah, that's the gospel. That's what Paul is talking about. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Or witnessing the so many people on the Agape team, our pastoral care team, taking care of parishioners, calling them up, visiting in their homes, trying to bring them beautiful flowers that Mimi plants in her garden. All of this, having repeated this past week, made me, yeah, I think we're there. There's much more things to get better at, but truly here at Emmanuel, I believe, for freedom Christ has set us free. Now, Paul throws a wrench in this story. Paul says, yeah, for freedom you have been set free. Stand firm. Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Of course, that's good. But then he says, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. Wait a minute. You said don't be slave, and now you're saying slave? What's going on here, Paul? Didn't he just say, do not be slaves, do not submit to the yoke? And then Paul says, yeah, you shall become slaves to one another through love. Paul explains it. Freedom is not just freedom for me. Freedom implies, how can I make someone else free? So in the United States, as a country, we cannot only say, yay, we're free. How do we use that freedom? And sometimes the freedom of someone else will cost me something. Remember last week's gospel story? The man of the pigs and you preached on? This man who was enslaved by this demon. He is liberated. He is set free. But the cost was all those spirits went into who? Remember the story? The swines, the pigs. And the pigs were sent down and they drowned. And the people who were owners of those pigs were not too happy about Jesus. The cost was too much for them. The freedom of their brother, their neighbor, their child was not as important as the herd of pigs. That's why they told Jesus, get out of here. And many times our freedom and the freedom for others can be costly for us. And that is what Paul, I think, is trying to say. Be slaves to one another in love. Our freedom requires sometimes for us to let go of something in order for others to benefit of true freedom. Yes, we in the United States have been a source of inspiration for many nations and for many peoples of the world. As the Collect for Independence Day says, Lord God Almighty, in whose name the founders of this country won liberty for themselves and for us, and lit the torch of freedom for nations then unborn. It is true. Many look at us in the United States with aspirations for freedom and liberty. We are a shining beacon to the world. No wonder so many people are willing to risk their lives, swim a river, and sometimes die trying to get to our shores with their little daughters on their backs. Before that heart-wrenching photo of the Salvadoran dad and his daughter drowning, trying to cross the border into the U.S., let us listen once more to Paul in the context of today's Day of Independence celebration. For you will call to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. Sadly, just as we've been beacons of liberty and freedom, sometimes we have not used that freedom to liberate others, but for self-indulgence. Just examine how our government has acted in Latin America through over 100 years. And just to give an example, in my own country, Puerto Rico, which we have a strange relationship with the United States, to say the least, U.S. military invaded Puerto Rico in 1898. My great-grandfather was there, receiving with open arms the military, because the promise of liberty and freedom. And my great-grandfather was there when the militaries arrived in Guanica, and he led them, the military, to my hometown square, main square, to take down the Spanish flag and raise the American flag. And the promise and the expectations and the hope for freedom. However, that kind of got a little bit complicated, to say the least. We were never granted citizenship at the beginning. We were on an unincorporated territory. We would not access to statehood at the beginning. In 1917, we were granted citizenship, suddenly. It was not asked by the people, we were given. Strangely enough, it was just 2 months before U.S. enters First World War, and 18,000 men were sent, but maybe it was just coincidence. But And another tragic, and I want to share a letter. It was a doctor was sent to Puerto Rico by the Rockefeller Foundation to do some health research down in Puerto Rico. And he left the letter, handwritten by him, on his desk. And this is what he said, what he wrote. "I can get a damn fine job here, and I'm tempted to take it. It would be ideal, except for the Puerto Ricans. They are beyond doubt the dirtiest, laziest, most degenerate, and thievish race of men ever inhabiting this sphere. It makes you sick to inhabit the same island with them. They are even lower than Italians. What the island needs is not public health work, but a tidal wave, or something to totally exterminate the population. It might then be livable. I have done my best to further the process of extermination by killing off 8 and transplanting cancer into several more. The latter has not resulted in any fatality so far. The matter of consideration for the patient's welfare plays no role here. In fact, all physicians take delight in the abuse and torture of these unfortunate subjects." When confronted by this letter, he said, "Oh, this was just a joke. This was a fantastic and playful composition, entirely written for my own diversion and was not intended for anybody else." He was exonerated. He was later made director of Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York City, and a famous medical award was given in his name. It was later taken away when this was brought again to our attention. So things like that, you wonder, what is the freedom we share? And it can be such a beautiful thing, and at the same time, it can be so hard when the promise of freedom and liberty is not followed through, like these examples. And I imagine my great-grandfather was not too happy with these things, what he thought was his hope and his aspirations for American intervention in Puerto Rico. Probably was not what he was hoping for. Again, as we celebrate independence this week, let us reconsider what Paul is inviting us to do. For freedom, Christ has set us free. May we live the truth of that gospel by feeling truly liberated, but having the courage and the risk to, even at our own cost, to help others be liberated as we are. I invite us to pray together on page 258, prayer 17, the prayer for a nation, on our prayer books as I conclude my sermon. And as we pray for these United States, I hope no one's saying I'm unpatriotic. Patriotism is not eliminating the darkness that we might have in our history. We've done that in church. That doesn't work. When darkness is not uncovered, when we sweep under the rug abuses just for not being faithful to the church. The same thing with religion. The same thing with politics. Let us not 258 on the top, number 17, for the nation. Let us pray together. Lord God Almighty, you have made all the peoples of the earth for your glory, to serve you in freedom and in peace. Give to the people of our country a zeal for justice and the strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Amen.